This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Would it bother you if somebody ever found a letter that you wrote or that you thought was private and personal, and maybe you found out that somebody had actually put their eyes upon a letter that you wrote? Well, of course, that might embarrass you. Now, I tell people this all the time, that when you write a letter and you sign your name, whether you realize it or not, you just created a legal document. You just created a legal document. And I've known people over the years, and you may have people in your family like this, that are excellent letter writers. They can let people have it, and they can cut people to shreds in a letter. And I've told relatives, you know, you need to be careful, because that letter could be produced 50 years after you're dead and gone and said, look what she wrote to me. Look what he wrote to me. I want to read to you, as I begin today, a letter that was written, believe it or not, in the 3rd century. A letter from antiquity. A man named Cyprian wrote this letter to a friend by the name of Donatos. We call it Donatos. I don't know if the guy was in the pizza business or whatever, but Cyprian writes this letter to a friend by the name of Donatos. And I want you to listen to what he said back in the 3rd century. He said, "This seems like such a cheerful world, Donatos, when I view it from the garden under the shadow of these vines. But if I climb some mountain and look over the land, you know very well what I would see. Bands of roving thieves on the high roads, pirates on the sea. In the amphitheaters, men are murdered to please the applauding crowds." What a statement. In the amphitheaters, men are murdered to please the applauding crowds. "Under every roof in every house, you see misery and selfishness." What a description. Under every roof, you see misery and selfishness. "It really is a bad world, Donatos, an incredibly bad world. Yet in the midst of it, I have found a quiet and holy people. They've discovered a joy which is 1,000 times better than the joys of the world. Donatos, these people are called Christians." These people are called Christians. I find that an intriguing letter, to know that back in the 3rd century, somebody made an observation that there was something different about this group of people that were called Christians. People whose lives have been changed and were changed. And in the midst of the depression of the 3rd century, of people being murdered in amphitheaters, people being robbed on the highways and pirates on the seas and misery and selfishness under every roof in the country, it was interesting to find a group of people that were different. They call themselves Christians. Today we're talking about life change. Why? Because life change means that your life is different. There's no point in talking to people about being a follower of Jesus if their life is not changed at all. But Jesus Christ is in the business of changing lives. How do I know that? From what we read in 1 John 5 today, the epistle of 1 John, the last chapter, the first 5 verses. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God."
Well, all this week on Cross Hope, the final message of a 5-week series from the epistle or letter of 1 John. We'll continue this final message tomorrow, same time, same place, on Sirius XM 131. God bless you.
Some of you are familiar with an author by the name of Scott Peck. He wrote a number of books. One of his most famous is a book called The Road Less Traveled. It begins with a 3-word sentence that's become famous. And here are the 3 words. Life is hard. Life is hard. And he says this, that once you acknowledge that life is hard, it becomes easier. It's interesting. Once you acknowledge that life is hard, then it becomes easier. It's when people refuse to face that life is hard, that they have problems. Someone told me after the second service that John Wayne said, life is hard and it's even harder if you're stupid. I don't know if that's true, but that's what somebody told me that John Wayne said at one point in his life. But I would agree with Scott Peck and John Wayne. Life is hard. But here's what I want to say to you. I want to take it a step further. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. Life is hopeless without Jesus Christ. Life is hopeless. Why? Because I said so? Because I've made some determination on my own, in my own intellect and volition? No. Jesus Christ would say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus would say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If those statements are true, life without him is hopeless. I really believe that with all my heart. What I'd like to do is just a little verse by verse, and then we're going to share with you, those of you that take notes, get ready to write down four statements today. First of all, in verse 1, it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Go right into verse 2. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. We're going to talk about that in a minute. About the progression there. You come to believe in Jesus, and as a result of that, you love God and you love people, and then you start carrying out his commands. We'll talk about that in a minute, what it means to carry out his commands. Verse 3, this is the love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, meaning they're not a hassle. They're not a pain. I'll talk about that. For everyone, verse 4, born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. How many of you have a pair of shoes or a t-shirt or some athletic gear that either has the word Nike on it or the Nike symbol? Raise your hand. Look how many people have that. Did you know the word Nike means victory? And it's the exact word that's used in this text. It's actually pronounced Nike in the Greek. And so the next time you see your Nike shoes or your Nike t-shirt or your Nike logoed hat, remember it has to do with the word that John used here, that this is the victory, this is the Nike that has overcome the world, even our faith. I want you to write down four statements today. The first one about life change is this: real life change comes about when we believe who Jesus is. Real life change comes about when we believe who Jesus is. I've talked about this so I'm just going to talk briefly about it. Believing who Jesus is not just a statement of mental assent. Yeah, I guess I believe. Yeah, I guess I believe in George Washington. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Lincoln, and we were taught that in school. I believe in Jesus Christ. To believe in Jesus means you acknowledge everything that he is in your personal life. When you believe in Jesus, that means you acknowledge everything he is in your marriage, your relationship, husband to wife, wife to husband. When you believe in Jesus, it impacts your relationship with your children, because everything in your life changes because you happen to believe who Jesus is. It makes a life-changing difference in every relationship on this earth.
And with that, we'll continue this message tomorrow on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel, to hear Cross Hope. God bless you.
Belief has power in your life physiologically. Belief has power in your life emotionally and psychologically. And belief has power in the person's life spiritually. That's why John says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. They have been begotten by God. A new birth experience has taken place. Real life change, secondly, means loving God and loving his children. It's not loving God or loving his children, but both. Let me illustrate it in a humorous way. Those of you that are parents, what if I came up to you? Can you imagine how offended you would be if I came up to you one day and said to you, you know, I really like you. You're a nice person. But you know, your son, can't stand him. You know, your daughter makes me sick. I cannot stand to be around your daughter or your son. You'd say, wait a minute. You like me, you like my children. And isn't it interesting that part of life changes, you love God, but you happen to love his children. Does that mean you're best friends with them? No. Mean you bowl with them on Friday night? Not necessarily. Does it mean they come over to the house and watch the Super Bowl with me? Not necessarily. But you have an agape love, which is the Greek word for unconditional love. It's the word that's used to describe God's love for you. And because God loves you with that kind of love, you as a believer then can love other believers with that kind of love. Why? Because they're so good and so nice? No. But because of the one who lives in you. And God gives you the capacity and the wherewithal and the capability to love people like you have never loved before. Because real life change means you love God and you love his children. There's a third thing I want you to write down. Real life change springs from obeying his commands. Obedience to the Lord is not the only proof that you're in a relationship with him, but it's a big proof. It's a big deal. Some of you know that maybe your wife or your husband may have asked you to do something, and you said, you know, it's a hassle. I don't want to mess with that. That's a problem. I don't want to do that. And God's commands are not a hassle. They're not burdensome. They're not a problem. Why? Do you know why it is? Because God gives you the capacity to carry them out. That's why. When you have a command in Scripture for you or me to follow, God doesn't say, keep that, and boy, what a laugh, because you never will. He gives you the capacity to carry it out. If the Lord ever prompted you to forgive somebody, he'll give you the capacity to do it. Lord ever prompted you to pay some money back that you owe somebody from 50 years ago? He'll give you the capacity to do it. I think it's possible. He'll do that. God gives you the capacity to carry out his commands. I want to share one more with you. Real life change results in an overcoming faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. What do we overcome? Do the stock market? No. Do we overcome job insecurity? No, it doesn't say that. I'll tell you what we overcome. I'm convinced in my spirit that the two biggest fears that people have, this is encompassed in the fear of death, is the fear of being alone and the fear of darkness. I think if most people were honest, they fear being alone and they fear being in darkness, which death kind of covers both those bases. And I think what we overcome as believers is we overcome our fear of death. How do I know that? The book of Hebrews says that Jesus came to release people, to redeem people from their fear of death, which they've been held in bondage to all their lives. You know, fear of death can be a bondage, just like any fear in your life.
Well, with that, we'll let you know that this message will continue tomorrow exactly where we leave off today on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. That's to hear Cross Hope tomorrow. God bless you, and thanks for listening each day to Cross Hope. Well, today and tomorrow on Cross Hope, the last two portions of the last message in the series from 1 John, the epistle or letter of 1 John. Next week, we start a brand new series in a New Testament book called 1 Thessalonians. It's a book about the second coming of Christ. The title of the series is Prepped or Panicked. I hope you'll listen all next week. Let's continue with part four of the last message from 1 John.
I'm going to close with the story, a person's testimony, and I'm not going to tell you their name until after I read it, because I think it has more power to hear this. He writes this, "I longed to be happy. I wanted to be one of the happiest people in the entire world. I also desired meaning in life. I was looking for answers to the questions, who am I? Why am I in the world? Where am I going? More than that, I longed to be free. I wanted to be one of the freest people in the whole world. Freedom to me was not simply doing what you want to do. Anyone can do that. Freedom for me was having the power to do what you know you ought to do. Most people know what they ought to do, but they don't have the power to do it. So I started looking for answers. It seemed that everyone was into some sort of religion, so I did the obvious thing and went to church. I must have hit the wrong church because it only made me feel worse." I don't know how many times I've heard that testimony of people who said, "I went to a certain church and man, they made me feel worse. I came to church feeling an inch tall and they made me feel like a quarter inch tall. I came to church feeling guilty and they said, we'll make you really feel guilty. We'll really do a guilt trip on you." And I've heard that over and over, and that's what this man went through. He said, "I went to church morning, noon, and night. It didn't help. I'm very practical, and when something doesn't work, I chuck it. So I gave up religion." Then he started going to a Bible study group at the university that consisted of 8 students and 2 faculty members. He He said there was something different about their lives. They seemed to know why they believed and what they believed. They seemed to know where they were going. Then he says, one of the people in the group, he said, was a good-looking woman. He said, I used to think all Christians were ugly, which I thought was an interesting remark. He said, I leaned back in my chair. I didn't want others to think that I was interested. And I said, tell me, what changed your lives? Why are your lives different from the others on campus? That young woman must have had a lot of conviction. She looked me straight in the eye and said two words I never thought I would hear as part of a solution in a university. She said, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Now listen to what he said. Oh, for God's sake, don't give me that garbage. I'm fed up with religion. I'm fed up with the church. I'm fed up with the Bible. Don't give me that garbage about religion. She shot back, hey, I didn't say religion. I said Jesus Christ. She pointed out something to me that I'd never known before. Christianity is not a religion. Religion is when human beings try to work their way to God through good works. Christianity is God coming to men and women through Jesus Christ to offer a relationship with himself. Now, I think it's safe for you to assume that this man did become a Christian, and he says this, you can laugh at Christianity, you can mock it, you can ridicule it, but it works. It changes lives. If you trust Christ, start watching your attitudes and actions because Jesus Christ is in the business of changing lives. Who wrote that testimony? Dr. Josh McDowell, who went from being an agnostic to being one of the great defenders of the faith, wrote the book Evidence That Demands a Verdict and More Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Speaks on college and university campuses all over the world.
Well, we'll not only conclude this message tomorrow, we'll conclude this series. From the Epistle or Letter of 1 John, tune in tomorrow to Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. God bless you and thanks for listening.
Wednesday night, I shared this at our Bible study class. I want to make sure I get this right, so I need to check my note here. We talked about the heartbeat of Christianity, and I believe that the heartbeat of Christianity is two words, resurrection and forgiveness. And I use the analogy of the heartbeat. You know, there's a thump-thump, a lub-dub that you hear when your heart beats. You've heard that, and I understand the first beat is the contraction of the atria. The second one is a contraction of the ventricle. And you hear that every time you hear your heart, lub-dub or thump-thump. I want to tell you what the thump-thump is of Christianity, resurrection and forgiveness. And it's the same heartbeat, resurrected through Christ, forgiven through Christ. And everything about Christianity falls under those two words. And all the rest of Christianity doesn't matter if those two things aren't in place. Why? Doesn't matter if you're going to die and you're never going to live again. Doesn't matter if you're not forgiven. I want to die as a resurrected person and as a forgiven person. And so do you. Why? That's your greatest need, to die as a resurrected person. Resurrection doesn't happen out there in the sweet by and by, and resurrection doesn't happen after the intensive care ward at the hospital. Resurrection happened the day a man or woman says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's when resurrection happens. Resurrection and forgiveness. Cyprian wrote that letter to Donatus and said, man, it's a bad world out there. Well, folks, what Cyprian said in that letter applies to this world. You can see the roofs of a lot of houses when you fly over any city, and you can rest assured people there that are selfish, there's misery, there's fighting and complaining and griping. But there's something different that can come into a home. There's something different that can come into a man or woman's life. It's called life change. But it happens when you believe that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. It happens when you start loving God and you love his people. It happens. This change happens when you obey his commands, and real life change results in an overcoming faith. I don't know where you are, where every person is in this realm of spirituality, but I want to tell you something that I didn't share at the first two services. I'm not interested in seeing people come to faith in a religion. I'm not interested in seeing people come to a concept. I'm not interested in winning people to a cause. I'm interested in introducing people to the one who is resurrection and forgiveness. Can you imagine how depressing life is without resurrection hope and without the hope of forgiveness? There's nothing greater than to know that when you take your last breath, it's not the end. It's not the end. To be absent from this body, Paul said in Corinthians, is to be present with the Lord. That's not just poetic language or poetic license. That's reality. To be absent from this body, which is death, means to be present with the Lord. Paul would also say, to die is gain. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. When you lose a loved one who's a believer, please note this, just remember this for future reference, they're not experiencing loss. Would you get that? When you lose a loved one who's a believer, they're not saying, oh, this is awful. This is terrible. They're experiencing gain because they're with the Lord forever. I'm interested in introducing people to the one who can bring forever into a temporary life. The one who can bring forever into a temporary life. His name is Jesus.
Well, next week on Cross Hope, a brand new series from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Tune in next week, same time, same place for Cross Hope.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.